Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the garden, things were good. Better than good, in fact. The Bible says that things were very good. Just as things were supposed to be. In the garden, man walked with God, and God provided all that was needful for man, and there was no want. In the garden, there was vegetation in abundance, readily available food with no cost of labor, distribution, preparation, or service. There was no hunger and no poverty. In the garden, all was in balance between creator and creation. God tended his fields, and his light shined warmly on all that dwelt therein. When God rested, and there was evening, there was no fear of calamity or natural disaster through the night. In the garden, the lion laid down with the lamb, and all creatures existed peacefully alongside one another. With God's all-sufficient providence, there was no competition, there were no predators, and there was no violence. In the garden, man and woman lived in light of the roles God had given them, submitting to one another perfectly. There was no envy, no confusion, no lust, no selfishness, for man and woman delighted in each other. In the garden was planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because all of God was revealed to his creation, even that knowledge which was meant only for him. And man could be trusted not to seek that which was only God's, for in God was man content, and there was no desire. But it would not last. In the garden came the serpent. The serpent desired that which was God's, and the serpent lusted to consume the good creation that God had made. The serpent would use all his cunning, all his deceit, all his violence to attain that which was not his by the perfect order which God had ordained. In the garden, the serpent whispered dark promises to the man and to the woman. "Eat of this tree," urged the serpent. "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In the garden, the woman ate, and the man followed. Fed lies by their tempter, they fell and they hid from their God, for their eyes were opened, and they were naked and ashamed. In the garden, God called out for his children, and they responded with lies and with blame. They tried to cover their shame and hide from the God who created them, the God who fed them, the God who protected them, the God who loved them. And so God pronounced judgment. In the garden, God gave this edict, that humanity would be cursed, that paradise would be vacated, that the man would labor to make a living by sweat and blood, and that the woman would labor in the pain of childbirth. The serpent would crawl on his belly, and he would eat the dust of the earth. To the serpent, God declared, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall crush your head, and you shall crush his heel." Thus, man left the garden and entered the wilderness. In the wilderness, things were not so good. In fact, they were very bad, not as all as they were supposed to be. In the wilderness, man walked under God, still cared for, but not seeing him face to face. In the wilderness, man toiled, a battle of inches to produce crops from the soil, and a bloody struggle against the creatures which man had once named and cared for to kill and to make meat. For man was hungry. In the wilderness, the sun burned, the storms raged, the winds howled, and the earth quaked. For security, man made shelter. He was vulnerable and afraid. In the wilderness, the elements were not the only danger, but wild beasts threatened to maim and to kill to satisfy their own hunger. Bandits and murderers stalked their prey to satisfy their wicked impulses. Man made weapons and built fortresses, for he was surrounded on all sides by violence. In the wilderness, man and woman lived in a tarnished union. They resented each other. They bickered. They complained. They fought. And they divorced. They lusted after others, and they behaved selfishly, for they delighted now only in themselves. In the wilderness, God gave the law of the covenant, and that law pronounced upon them guilt and obligation. The law showed them their fallenness, and it revealed to them their need for mercy. For under sin, man knew what it was to want. In the wilderness, the knowledge of God came through the tabernacle. By prophets, priests, and kings, the will of God was made known and then was summarily rejected by his rebellious and disobedient people. All their worldly power and all of their vast knowledge availed them nothing. In the wilderness, man was given to suffering and to death. But it would not last. In the wilderness came God. But God, dressed in flesh and blood like ours, even Jesus Christ, the Messiah promised in the garden to take away the sin of the world. In the wilderness, God walked from city to city. He proclaimed repentance and his coming kingdom. Having no place to lay his head, God was vulnerable. In the wilderness, God gave his word to Gentiles, to scribes, to Pharisees, and to Romans who rejected and despised him, plotting to arrest and murder him. And God knew violence. In the wilderness, God ate with sinners, he talked with adulterers, he cleansed lepers, and he associated with all manner of undesirables. Emptying himself for them, God was impoverished. In the wilderness, God came to the Jordan River, and God was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Carrying the sins of man upon himself, God became obedient to the law. In the wilderness, God fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Moved by the Spirit, the Son obeyed the Father's will, and taking no food to satisfy himself, God was hungry. In the wilderness, God strove with the tempter. He heard the same empty words which brought ruin to Adam and Eve. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. All these things will I give to you, I and many more, through countless ages, if you will but fall down and worship me. In the wilderness, God was tested, and he triumphed. Christ showed himself to be the Son of God, and he did what man could not. He kept the fast, and he did not sin. He responded to these temptations with the very word of God. It is written, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In the wilderness, God set his face to Jerusalem and to the cross, where he himself would suffer and die for the sake of his people. In the wilderness, God would give his life for the lives of many. By dying, he would seal his victory once and for all over sin, death, and all the power of the devil. In the wilderness came the Christ, bearing life and salvation for all who believe. Perfect in submission, perfect in humility, perfect in righteousness, he came to be the perfect substitute for man, our God and our friend, our Lord and our champion. In the wilderness, Christ came for us, to crush the serpent's head, to bring us out of the wilderness and into his new garden. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.